2, 3.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Othello City Council November 3rd workshop meeting. Before we start tonight, is there anyone in the audience that needs hearing devices? Anyone using city devices can hear? Are you okay? Mike? Okay. With that, would you all please rise and ask Eugene Bain to lead us in prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your blessings upon this city and us, Lord. Pray that we all have good decisions and keep up with your wisdom tonight, Lord, and show our wisdom and decisions you've bestowed upon us to make, Lord, for this city. In your name we pray. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Item 1.03 on our agenda is roll call. All council and mayor are present. So continuing on to item 1.04, citizen input. Is there any citizen present tonight that would like to address the Othello City Council? Please raise your hand. Michael Crozier, would you please step to the lectern, state your name and address, and you have 5 minutes to address the city council tonight.
My name is Michael Crozier, and I live at 625 North Othello, Washington. I'm here to talk about some of the data that we got from your engineer that we've been asking for 3 years. This is what is reported to be a record drawing. For your information, a record drawing is the final drawing that comes from your engineer after all of the as-built marks have been made by the contractor in the field. Unfortunately, could you get it so that you can see the whole document? This has been purported by your consultant as a record drawing. And it's not, because it doesn't meet the criteria described in the state laws, rules, and regulations, and the WASDOT rules and regulations for what a record drawing is. You'll notice there's no professional engineer stamp on here. That's required. You'll notice that there's no signature on the professional engineer stamp. That's required. You know there's no registration number on the stamp. Required. And why is that? Well, we believe, and I'll have to walk over here, that's because when you analyze this catch basin and its drainage system, that it's undersized by a factor of 200. And that the water that you try to alleviate by constructing this is greater than the amount of capacity that you have by a long shot. So you were sold a bill of goods. And this is the reason why this drawing, which was supposed to be produced by WASDOT standards 90 days after the closure of the project, wasn't produced for us until 3 years after the project. Now, your contract with your engineer states that all project documents become the property of the city when the project is accepted. So the data behind all this was actually in your possession and your control 3 years ago. And we're just getting this now. This is not the only thing, beef, that I have with your engineer. We, under one of our PRAs, we received a document that came from Larry Julius that went to Eamon Sheldon and asked him if he would like to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Main Street project and some certain specific areas that are very high traffic volume. Mr. Mayor, I sent you that letter about 30 minutes ago. Mr. Sheldon said no, he did not want to comply. Mr. Sheldon had no choice, and he involved a member of your staff and the engineer in attempting to defeat that process, which is a violation of those federal laws. And when you limit people's access to public facilities by not providing those ADA constructions, you limit their civil rights and their ability to participate in public activities, which is also a no-no. So I know that you're in the process of considering new engineers. You're going to see me throw a real fit if you include Brian Osborne, who has not done a good job for the city or for you. Thank you very much. And I'd like to have a real witness. Sorry. With the proper stamp and all the proper items.
Comments are noted. Continuing on, is there any other citizen who would like to address the Othello City Council tonight? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you to come to the microphone. Okay. Moving on to item 2, current business, 2.01, third quarter report from Adams County Fire District number 5. We have with us the Fire Chief, Gary Liebachen. Gary has a report for the council.
Good evening. The third quarter report is as follows, and included in the report is the second meeting for the district city fire council that occurred last month. Third quarter, we saw 31 fire incidents, down from 38 last year, same period of time. Of those 31, none were significant that caused injuries or displaced any of the citizens of Othello. We had one minor fire in a processing plant and suppression system extinguished it. We had an ammonia release that we responded to, and that never left the property of origin as well. We conducted 45 commercial fire inspections. There were we'll talk about some of the alarms, I guess. False alarms are a bigger percentage of our responses, and residential is running a close neck and neck with commercial alarms now. Used to be commercial alarms were much more prevalent, but the residential is catching up. We had 8 false alarms, commercial, and 7 residential. And a false alarm can be anywhere from an activation of an unintentional activation to an intentional activation of a device that emits an alarm that we respond to. Some of the items that occurred in the third quarter were 8 in-house trainings. We did our annual pump testing of the engines. All engines passed. No deficiencies in that. We did a 5-year annual or a 5-year test on the oldest sitting aerial truck. And we received 2 write-ups on that, none of which would take the truck out of service. The communication from pump panel to tip has failed again. The testing agency has recommended that we remove it from the truck and modernize with handheld radios. Seems like a easier fix, more reliable fix than trying to work with the 1984 technology. The other thing was a simple gasket that needs to be replaced, but the truck is in service still at this date. We're working with a school district safety committee, local emergency planning conference or committee on several projects there. We finished up with public works testing of the hydrants. during the third quarter, and part of that is the input of the data into the computer software. We'll be working on that throughout the winter, completing that. That's an ongoing process for the district. We have 27 firefighters on the roster right now for a total, and we're looking, actively recruiting again, looking for new members, trying to determine what we can do to entice people. We have some incentive programs that we offer, but we're still looking to increase our numbers. That's the kind of highlights of the report. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer. Council?
Gary, what are we doing to entice a Hispanic population? I mean, what have we done?
Well, our inspector, Tom, he's our assistant chief. He's out contacting different businesses all the time. We hosted an open house, and we hope we have 4 applications coming back from there. He's been down to the Bethel Church and talked to, back then, I believe Larry was the pastor, and we're trying to recruit that way. We've ran a fair booth, and we're out actively looking for the person that is established in the community, and we're very upfront with them of the training requirements. It scares a lot of people off. But we want to be upfront rather than let them get involved and then they become disenchanted with the amount of time that it takes.
Gary, could you go over some of the requirements of a new trainee just so the council kind of understands how much time is involved?
Sure. We, in the past, we ran a 3-month academy, and that 3 months, we go 2 nights a week. And they're required to make 100% of that training. We looked at that, and it stretches it out too long, so we've shortened it up now. We're running a 16-hour course. They're required to do 3 courses online, 3 online courses, and then all hands-on takes anywhere from 6 months to a year for them to come in and complete as well. But running that 16-hour course, and that's just the safety end of it, and then the online courses, they're able to come down and assist with some of the other activities that we do there in the station, and we're hoping that keeps their interest longer during the rookie year, basically. Keeps them interested and going, motivated, and coming back for more. But we're working with the Firefighter One program. We're not a certified Firefighter One program because we don't send them to North Bend to test right now. But we are working off the national standard of Firefighter One. We're also working off of the, if you will, the NWCG, which is a wildland certification agency, and that is a certified national standard as well that we're working with. We've been working with that for several years now, and they come away with a red card. They can go anywhere in the United States and show that card, and if they're accepted, they can work right into a firefighter position that way. We're exploring the options of a youth program again. Some of our neighbors have established that through the schools, and we're looking at some opportunities there as well.
What qualifications do you think are the hardest to meet as far as, you mentioned that a little bit ago.
The commitment of time, the training.
That's what I was thinking of.
Currently, we train two nights a month. We throw in maybe a weekend or two throughout the year, and occasionally we'll throw in an extra night if we have something special going on. And they're required to hit 50% of those trainings. If they don't, then we want to know. We bring them in, visit with them, and see what we can do to keep them going, keep them up to speed. But that's the biggest, the commitment of time.
Thank you.
So at that a couple meetings a month, how long does it take them to become certified?
They're a rookie for at least a year. Mm-hmm. Some people it takes longer, mm-hmm. Depending on their sort of progress.
Qualification. Yeah.
Their progress through the hands-on process. And, you know, we want to see them get that 16-hour classroom and then the online stuff. We want to see them that done right away. And normally they can knock that out in a month. And then it's just a hands-on process.
Council? Any more? Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 2.02, public records review. Debbie Kudernoff?
I'd like to thank the Chief Gary Liebhakken for helping us last week with the fire drill for the City Hall and Police Department. We appreciate your help. I think we did okay. I provided you a lot of information regarding Public Records Act and our public records process. In 1972, the voters of Washington State adopted an initiative, and now it's referred to, was now codified in RCW Chapter 42.56, and everybody refers to it as the PRA Act, or the Public Records Act. The intent of the PRA is to have free and open examination of public records is in the best interest. Our duty is to provide access to public records to the greatest extent possible. I am the public records officer for the city, and Lois Weiss processes the OPD public records requests. Within 5 days of receiving a request, we do have to respond, and that could be by providing the record that they have requested. We could extend our timeline of providing the records. We could deny the records. We could ask for a clarification of their initial requests. I gave you a lot of different RCWs that we follow. One of them is RCW 42.56050, which is invasion of privacy, and that has to do when a person's right to privacy is violated. If disclosure of information about the person would be highly offensive to a reasonable person, and it is not of legitimate concern to the public. I gave you a copy of our public works, our public records tracking report. We have received 138 public records requests as of the end of October. Approximately 70% of our public records requests have been filed by two citizens of our community. In 2013, our employee time was calculated at approximately $3,600, and that was for 42 requests, and you can see that we've exceeded that amount of public records requests for this year. At the end of September, our staff time has been documented for more than $26,000. That was the end of September, so we didn't calculate in October yet. By an established WAC, we are not allowed to ask what the intent of the records request is for. However, we can ask for clarification. And this helps us tremendously because we cannot assume what record they are requesting. We want them to say what public record they want to copy or review or have sent email. Our newly adopted public records policy provides that if a public records request is included in a larger document, the requester should point out that a public records request by labeling the front page of the document as having a public records request. However, we spent hours reviewing emails to determine if there are public records requests in the communications that we do receive. Rebecca Perez, myself, and Louis Weiss are all members of WAPRO, and they provide a lot of education, and their website is very friendly and useful for public records officers. We just attended their fall conference, and more than 420 people were there in attendance, and it was very educational. Currently, I am reviewing emails coming from the past city administrator and staff members, and you can see that on the public records tracking form, and it's PR number 2014-119. There are more than 21,000 emails that I am reviewing for exemptions and redactions. We estimate that it will take myself and Rebecca approximately 350 hours for review. We did advise the requester that it may take 90 to 100 days for us to respond to this request, and we may have to extend that completion date. I have to assure that all other work is accomplished and make sure we're still working on public records requests. If you have any questions, I am here to hopefully help you out.
To give us an example, would you go to the... there we go. So this is an example of the request that you are receiving?
Yeah, so these are all numbered. Starting on the side, we do number them, and they came in, who is from, which departments we sent them to. The 5-day response, we got to watch that 5-day response. I also put it in my Outlook calendar. We summarized what they had asked for. And did we ask for clarification? You'll see some of them will say, yes, we have asked for clarification, and some of them are on hold because we're still waiting for clarification. We can set an extension date. We can set up a payment installment date if we release public records in groups. We can put, and I've used it for miscellaneous notes and the date that the request was closed.
Council? Any questions?
Thank you.
Debbie, thank you very much for the update. Moving on to item 2.03, budget discussions. In this workshop tonight, the council is going to review the special revenue fund, the water fund, the sewer fund, solid waste fund, and the debt service fund. And leading us in that discussion is our City Finance Officer, Spencer Williams.
Thank you very much. We're nearing the end of our annual budget process, so it's an exciting time of year. The plan is that we'll discuss the budget tonight, discuss it at our next meeting on November 10th, and then we'll be able to pass the final budget, 2015 budget, at our November 24th. Is it the 24th meeting? I think it's the 24th meeting. Up until now, we've reviewed each one of the funds within our city budget in detail through our council budget committees. We've been at those meetings. We discussed the requests of the department heads and talked about direction for the city. At our last meeting, we kind of compiled all of that information together and we discussed truncated versions of the budget. And focus that meeting on the red zone items for each one of the funds. Some of those things that the wish list things that we'd like to do. Sometimes we can, you know, we've got to pick three of the five items. For example, we discussed all those items. For tonight's meeting, we're gonna discuss half of the funds in our budget, and then we'll pick up where we left off at our next meeting on the 10th. Tonight, just like the mayor said, we're going to talk about some special revenue funds. We'll discuss not all of them. We're not going to talk about our tourism fund. We'll talk about the real estate excise tax fund and the utility tax fund, talk about our water, sewer, solid waste funds, and then we'll end up with a couple FYIs, just kind of an update on the debt service funds that we have. So to go through the rest of this conversation, I'm going to sit down on my computer so we can go through these things.
that work?
Do you have any trouble hearing?
Here.
Here, it's on now. It's on now, okay. Forgot to push the button. So tonight, first of all, I wanted to talk about our two special revenue funds. Oh, wait, let me back up. Just a skosh. With all the items that I prepared and gave you tonight, I wanted to talk about just a couple of them. There's the agenda memo that I just had up that talks about what we're going to be doing tonight. This item right here is called Funding Sources and Descriptions. This is, again, what I prepared and gave you at our last meeting when we had a brief discussion about it. Up at the top, we have our funds coming down this side. I'm going to get a little pointer. Well, we have our funds coming down this side and going over to this side, we can see the available funds that we have this year that can still be spent for other items we want to work into the budget. And then I have a brief description of each one of the funds, what those pots of money can do. So again, just very briefly, the general fund, those dollars, we have $21,000 over the minimum fund balance. Those dollars can be used for the general purposes of the city. That's the general fund. The real estate excise taxes, those are governed by RCW, and that RCW gives maybe 12 or 14 different things that, or names 12 or 14 different things that those dollars can be spent on. And they include streets, sidewalks, lighting systems, park and rec, a number of different things. Rehab, new, a bunch of different things there. Our utility tax dollars, these are actually a general fund revenue that we here at the City of Othello break out of the general fund so we can track separately. With this fund, 50% of these revenues are automatically transferred over to the general fund, and then the remaining dollars are held in that fund for projects that are costing $25,000 or more. And again, that's by local, the Othello Municipal Code. The Park and Rec Reserve Fund, this is the fund where we've set these $350,000 aside for a community center. We've had some discussion about possibly using those dollars for a farmer's market. If we go down, Real Property Reserve Fund, this fund has a minimum fund balance of $150,000, which leaves $250,000 left over for the purchase, construction. If you go over on your sheet, you can probably see it. Purchase, construction, improving real property, streets, roads, parks, open spaces. This dollar figure here is also the dollars that we're looking at if we want to purchase land. Oh no, what happened? Wait, okay, here it is. This is also the pot of money that we're looking at if we want to purchase new park property for future parks. We go down, we're putting money aside for LEF expenses and Fire District Reserve Fund. Down here, I split these items out. Down here, the street dollars can only be used for street projects and so on. Our utility funds, water, sewer, solid waste, the water fund and its reserve fund, which is really its savings account, can only be used for water projects and so on, going down. So that's just briefly that document there. And that may be helpful tonight when looking at do you want to do this project or not. Tonight, the items that are on the agenda tonight won't affect the general REIT or utility tax, any of these funds up here. We're just going to be talking about the water, sewer, solid waste funds down here. And then there was one other document that hopefully this is useful in just putting everything out in front of you all in one place. I took all of the red zone items, those capital requests, and I put them all into one spreadsheet so I can see everything under the general fund. There's the plotter, copy scanner, the chamber projectors. We have a bunch of police items here, a few park and rec things, these items. Then we go onto the street and water, sewer, solid waste. A few of these items I wrote already funded. You'll see that next to the skate park. That's already happening this year. We've been saving for a number of years to be able to put in a skate park for the city. So that's already taken care of. We've discussed 14th and First Avenue projects. Those are these items here. And then the water, sewer, and solid waste. On water fund, I have the well 9. We're just going to continue with that project, so that's already done. And then the water tower maintenance program. Those are items that we built the funding structure so that it could take care of those expenses of that fund. And we did the same with the sewer and solid waste. So hopefully this is helpful in your review. It can be a quick reference, a cheat sheet to all the red zone items. So if we're looking at, I want to look at the REIT and the utility tax funds here to begin with. The real estate excise tax fund can be used for a number of things that we just discussed, and you can look at your sheet to get a reminder. We're not planning on using any dollars from REIT this year so far. We have approximately, by the end of 2015, we'll have approximately $46,000 available there. This is a fund that we tapped quite heavily a couple of years ago. I believe it was 2012. And we drew that fund down quite a bit, and it's been the desire of the council to not touch that and let it build back up so we can be saving for something else. In here we have, well, yeah, so that's the real estate excise tax fund. And then with our utility tax dollars, like I said before, 50% of the revenues into this fund are transferred automatically over to our general fund. So that's the $739,000 figure here. That's transferred to the general fund. Down here we have $405,000 as a transfer to the street fund to make the 10 and 20% matches for the 1st and 14th Avenue projects. I wanted to put that in here because that's a project that we're moving forward with. Altogether it'll be this will be the local match to two projects that will be the $2.8 million. I think it's just over $2.8 million in street projects for 2015, which is quite good. For every dollar that we're spending, we're getting about $7 back. So, or it's having the impact of $7. And then we're making one of our debt payments out of this fund, and we'll talk about our debt payments in a little bit. All of this to say that this fund right now we have about $257,000. This bottom figure here, $257,000 here, that is left to fund other capital projects. So that is there for your review. At our last meeting, a question was raised about a local contribution that would be made to the 14th Avenue project with a local contribution from the property owners. We've been talking to Larry Julius about that contribution, and there is a contribution that would be made, kind of like a latecomers agreement, that would be in place that would cover some of this $405,000. There are a couple of complicating factors in here, though. So Wade and I didn't want to say that we're going to be reimbursed all of this $405,000, or we're going to be reimbursed for half of it. That project was originally planned, and then a roundabout was added to it, which kind of complicates what the local or what the property owners would be paying the city as their latecomers agreement piece of that project. And so, because Wade and I don't know what that dollar looks like, we didn't want to give you, the council, a hard number
And then later in the year, come back and say, well, actually, you know, we thought we were going to have another $200,000 to spend, but actually we're going to have $150,000 or just $100,000 to spend. For that reason, we wanted to leave this as it is for now, and then in January or February next year, we can always come back to council and work some more red zone items into our budget with an amendment. At that time, we thought that would be a little more conservative, and we wouldn't run into a situation where we've overstretched our resources and we've got to cut some things later on.
So, Spencer, with regard to that, what you're saying is that there's still some details that need to be worked out. There still needs to have engineering work on that roundabout in order to get the total figure of the participants, the school district, the Olson Homes, and the city's portion.
Yes.
And the new CDHA.
Yeah.
And Hampton's portion. And so,
That's only if they're annexed.
Excuse me. That's only if they're annexed. So, the thing is, they may decide, or they may negotiate with us an arrangement where they pay it in three separate years. So, we don't. There's a lot of unknowns there that need to. That we're just waiting for information. Mm-hmm. So, to include this, isn't that what you're saying? Is we don't really want to. Wouldn't be wise to include any of that to reduce this $400,000 coming from the city's budget. Because we can't count on it, and we don't know in what time frame and or what amounts those figures will be.
Exactly. We don't want to jump the gun and allocate funds that still have some question marks attached to them. That was that piece. So that's the utility tax fund. If we go to the next fund here, the next fund that we can talk about here is the water fund. And the water, sewer, and solid waste funds, as we're going to talk through, the rates in these funds have been set to accommodate these capital projects and these needs of these funds. So I think these are probably the easier funds to start with. If we look at our water fund, here's a truncated version of the water fund, and down here in red, these two items here, the $5,000 and the $300,000, those are the red zone items for the water fund. And I set up this fund and our other funds in this Excel spreadsheet so we can easily see our effect to the bottom line will be when we include these red zone items in our 2015 budget, which is this column right here that I have highlighted, column Q. With this fund, we have the plotter copy scanner. One-fourth of the expense of that is $5,000. And then we have the water line improvements that we want to do along with our street projects. While we have the streets torn up, we want to take advantage of that time and do the water line work at that same time. Here I have an estimated ending fund balance of $225,000. We have a water reserve fund that we'll transfer money from to cover these expenses if you want to work these into the budget. So we certainly have the ability to work both of these items into our budget, the $5,000 and the $300,000 water align improvements.
Spencer, are you asking at this point the council needs to make a decision about going ahead with this plotter scanner?
Yeah, copier? So we can just go through these one at a time. Does the council want to do this plotter copy scanner worth this into the budget for this year?
And what are the other three that are sharing that?
There's four. So we have the general fund, the street, and the water and sewer. Those. So it'd be $5,000 to each one of those.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And the $300,000 for the water line improvements. And again,
refresh the council's memory of that what that $300,000 is.
Like what projects?
Yes.
That's for the water line up 14th Avenue. When we do reconstruct that street, that'll replace that 12-inch AC pipe that runs full length to there to 26.
And is there not some of that $300,000 also included for water line up Concrete Drive to the?
There's a portion of that will be worked on right now, to extend that water line on Concrete Drive to the port.
Yes.
A portion of that will be allotted for that, but we'll, if we don't get the work done, we'll have to carry it over and pay that project complete in 15. But we'll still have to budget for this for the water line of 14.
We already have some of that in this year's budget?
Yes, we have $300,000 in there right now.
And so this would be an additional, the majority of this is for 14th Avenue improvements?
Correct.
Okay. So we would just carry.
The $300,000 that's in there now is for the Concrete Avenue project, and if we don't get it completed this year, it'll just move into next year. It'll get carried over.
Yes. Okay.
Great.
Any other questions? Thank you, Terry. So at this time, because we're spending $2.8 million on 14th Avenue, $400,000 is our contribution.
We have to get that under there before the street goes down, so.
Yes.
So yes, now with this $300,000, that's going to be $705,000, correct?
With this?
For 14th Avenue.
So you have $405,000 on your red zone items.
For our share of the grant. Yeah, that's just for the street.
Yeah.
This would just be for the water work below.
This is just water line work.
Below the road. Street.
And part of that 405 is going to come back to us. We just don't know how much.
We just don't know how much or when. Yeah.
So Mark's question, though, was the $300,000 is in addition to the 405 for 14th,
mm-hmm.
for 14th Avenue.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. For water line.
Right, Mark?
Yeah.
That's what you're asking?
Correct.
And that's for water line and sewer?
Nope, that's just water.
Just water.
Just water.
Okay. So, right, so this is just the water portion. If you look in the funding sources and description sheet, you can see the water reserve fund. We anticipate ending next year with $1.2 million in that fund. That's the fund that we're slowly building up for for new wells and things like that in the future. So those are the dollars that we will use for this $300,000.
So the answer then to your question is the council is in agreement to spend that $300,000 on primarily 14th Avenue?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
So we can move forward. The next fund is the sewer fund. And down here in the sewer fund, we just have one red zone item. It's quarter. It's $5,000 of the plotter copy scanner. And is that something that the council wants to put into the sewer capital?
Yes.
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 $5,000.
So I got a question for Terry. Is there any sewer that needs to be done on 14th too then?
No, not this time.
Should we be starting to look at that with a possibility of property being annexed and all the possible growth east of 14th that could be possibly taking place in the future?
Well, we have been. We've been working on the fact that our sewer will have to come from Columbia Street. It'll have to be drug up when that road's carried up to 14th, and then from there it'll carry on east at this time. We've looked at that already, so.
But nothing needs to be put under 14th before they put a road down to extend?
Not at this time.
Sleeves?
Well, we'll sleeve 14th down on Columbia Street. That's in the works already. We'll sleeve for that.
Where's Columbia Street at on 14th?
Further south.
It's further south. It's just below what would be the CBHA, that 20 acres there, just below that.
Yeah, that was on the bottom side of Olson's homes development? And that's where you think the easiest avenue would be to go?
Yeah, we'll come up from Columbia Street.
You come 14th both ways to tie in there and go down?
Dale's is on Columbia Street, right?
Right, correct.
So coming up.
That's the main trunk line right there. We got a main line right there. It comes up there. So if we continue and we upsize that, we keep that size big, we'll come clear out at 14th up Columbia Street. We'll make a jog over past the old theater and then shoot straight to 14th. And then from there, we'll sleep under there. So we've got potential for east side of 14th. That's what the plan is right now.
Thank you, Terry.
So if you did a sewer line right now today, even though you don't have anybody slotted to be there, you could do tie-ins, sewer tie-ins, when they were developed, correct?
Yeah.
But I mean, you're going to be digging up for a water line, and you could lay what? How far away from the water line?
10 feet minimum.
10 feet. Now, would you put the roadway over the top of that, or would you put it off the side of the roadway?
No, our sewer and water's in the road.
It's in the road.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't need any manholes on 14th.
We've got manholes down there right now that take care of. We've got some proposed that are going to go in there up by Birchwood when it comes through, mm-hmm. and we're going to stub across there to the other side of east side of 14th. We also got a manhole on down on Gemstone that's down that way as well.
Has Green Osborne done anything up for a sewer line, or is it just strictly a water line for now?
It's a water line for now.
So what, in eventuality, if we did decide to put a sewer line in there, what would we have to do?
You want to put a sewer line under 14th? We have Scutney Street's got a sewer line that comes right up from it. It wouldn't be to our advantage to tap two sewer lines in one manhole. So we brought it up there and we stopped it. Okay, so we have one in the road now that comes on down, comes to Gemstone, and then shags west and gets in the main line down there. We'll also have one that's going to set in 14th at Birchwood, which will pick up anything up above the school and bring it down and tie in, and it'll run down Scutney Street. So you have everything on Scutney Street west of 14th has already been picked up, and everything at the school's given is coming down, hooking on Gemstone and going west. And then you have everything that you drag up from Columbia Street will come clear up the main line, and it'll be for everything on the future side.
So we actually won't need a sewer line in 14th?
That's what it's looking like right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's I'm just thinking 5 years down the road, we start tearing a road up,
yeah.
You know. But if, as long as you say it's not needed.
No, we've looked at that. We looked at that when we were doing Scutney Street there, tying it in and teeing it in, and there's no reason for it at this time.
Okay.
But we will require that whatever develops down at this end by well 5 on the end of 7th on Columbia Street, that be carried, and that size be carried all the way up for future to 14th, stub across.
Just want to make sure a few years down the road we're not needing to put one in.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
So getting back to the plotter scanner, I think we approve.
Yep.
From all the funds that were there. Okay.
Then again, the rest of the excess that we have in this fund, we move over to the sewer reserve fund. We're building up for the new sewer treatment plant that's in our future. We go water, sewer, solid waste. In the solid waste fund, we just have one item, $55,000 for alley approach improvements. And is that something that...
And that money comes right out of the
right
solid
out of
waste
the fund.
Fund.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I think that needs to be done.
I got a question for Terry on that. That $55,000 is spent for the alley approachments. That money be better spent graveling those alleys and maintaining them?
Well, you can gravel them, but the gravel ends up right out into the street.
Okay.
When the truck comes to stop there and goes to take off, if it jumps on the curb and gutter right there, it takes a hole that comes out inside out of the street. So what we've been doing is concentrating on the commercial side of it for the alley approaches, and we did a bunch of them on Main Street.
We did a bunch of these on Main Street when we did Main Street project, and then we did a couple back over here on Scutney Street. But we've been concentrating on the commercial districts where most of the garbage trucks are running the alleys pretty heavy. So now we're going to work our way out from there but we do a 20 by 25 pad that goes in there that keeps all that gravel out of the street and keeps all the potholes down from behind the curb and gutter.
How many does that do?
They're roughly, I did a calculation on that. I can't tell you right offhand, but they're right around 2,500, 3,000 a piece is what they normally run.
That's a really good deal.
And they have made a big difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference there when you put them in. Okay, thank you.
A few months ago, we looked at our solid waste rates, and when we were planning those rates out, we planned as though we were going to include $55,000 for the next few years, or just outgoing into the future for those improvements for that utility of the city. So that is in there. The very last tab here is for our debt service funds. We have five, right now we have, or starting 2014, we had five long-term debts that we were paying on. One of them is done this year. The State Route 24 industrial area, we made our final payment on that loan in July. So that leaves four long-term debts that we still have. One of those is going to drop off in 2015, or 2015 is the final year, and then another one has its final payment in 2016. So as soon as we're past 2016, we'll just have two long-term debts. And so we'll talk about those here in a sec. The first item here is the Public Works Trust Fund loan for the Broadway. For Broadway. This is one of the items that we're going to have out to 2026. It's roughly $30,000. This is paid out of our street fund. We have State Route 24. This is the loan that's done here in 2014 is the final payment year for this debt. We have the City Hall bonds, which we'll make the last payment on in 2015. We have in our water fund, we have the final payment for the well 7, and that'll be made in 2016. And then here our Main Street construction bond, that one goes out to 2035. So here we, in 3 years, we're going to go from having three debt payments every year to having two debt payments that we'll make every year. One of those will be about $30,000 a year, and the other one will be about $240,000 a year. And so those other dollars that we're using to make those debt payments, either from our street fund or our utility tax fund, will then just be ours to use for other projects of the city. Really, that's all I... We didn't need to make any decisions as far as our long-term debt, our debt service funds go tonight. I just wanted to bring you up to speed as to where we were with those funds.
I got a question on that $244,000. Do you know what interest we're paying on that?
Yes, on this one, this is $225,000. On this one, this is one of our GO bonds. This isn't our on our three public work trust funds. The interest rate on those range from 1 to 2%. They're really, really low. This is one of our bond-funded projects, and it starts at 3.2 and it ends up at 4.6%. Both the mayor and Wade have asked me if there's a possibility of refunding this or taking advantage of some lower rates, and I've sent an email out to a number of different finance guys that would help the city in refinancing these, and they said it's really not a possibility with these bonds. We just wouldn't be able to get a lower interest rate to
Can you pay them off early?
We can always pay them off early.
Yeah.
So would it be better, because we've got money in the reserve fund?
Yeah, in our council budget.
How much money would you be saving if you paid that off early, reserve fund, and we could take that money that we're making those payments and put it back in, but we wouldn't have to pay interest?
Right, so as we're paying off other bonds, instead of using that money for capital purchases, use that money to pay this bond up early?
Well, you use the reserve fund, pay it off, and then those 2 years that we still have to pay on it, take that money that we'd be paying and put that back into the reserve fund.
You're just paying yourself back, is what he's saying, and then that way you get out of paying the interest.
Mm-hmm.
So what's 4.5% of the $240,000?
We looked at up $240,000.
Well, the $244,000 that he's talking about.
You know, we talked about doing this when we were in the council budget committee's meetings. During those meetings, we were thinking that maybe this would be a better year-by-year decision.
Spencer, I think that's outside the scope of tonight.
Yeah, I would.
But it's a good idea.
I would want to run this in a spreadsheet to see what kind of savings we would see if we put another $50,000, another $100,000, an additional payment towards this every year to see what that would do to the bottom line.
Well, the only problem I see with it is that we're paying interest only until 2016, where then it becomes, and see, we have a principal balance there of a lot of money. It's like $30 million or something.
Just under 3.2 million.
Less than 30 million, but mm-hmm. Unless we pay the whole $3 million off, mm-hmm. we're not saving, you can't just pay 2 years in advance and then not make payments.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have to pay the entire balance off. Mm-hmm. City doesn't have that in reserve, at least that we could use for the street fund.
Right.
Now there's just two years left.
Interest only.
That's of interest only, and then the principal kicks in.
Yeah, you have 1%, 1.5%, we're only talking $4,000 or $5,000. That's cheap money, though. I don't know if we can use that money.
You could take the monies that we're getting ready to get back on the other loans. Basically, we're paying off the other loans. You could take that money and make an extra payment each year, and it could cut it down.
On the more interest loan, do you mean?
You could cut your payment time down by quite a bit.
Okay, but I'd like to move on. But we need to do some calculation on that. Like maybe we could have Spencer come back to the council and mm-hmm. with some ideas.
Yeah. Okay. This loan, we started making payments on the interest in 2010. In 2016, we'll not only make the interest payment, but at that point, we'll start making the principal payments also. And so that's the payment that we'll then be making through 2035 for this one.
So they get the majority of their interest up front, paid that. It's gone.
With that, those are the discussions that we needed to have tonight. Like I said earlier, at our next meeting, we'll hit the general fund and the street funds, and we'll be able to talk about these red zone items here. These red zone items here in the general fund and then the street fund. These two funds, really, we need to talk about those two funds together because they're both going to be tapping the utility tax fund. The available dollars there. I wanted to separate those from our utility tax or our water, sewer, and solid waste utilities. Just to try to make that discussion a little bit easier.
Thank you, Spencer. So these items here that are left to discuss in our red zone requests, those were the items we went over through in our budget workshop. So again, if you have additional questions, please talk to Spencer, Wade, the department heads, primarily in this instance, That would be our police chief, Phil Shank, and...
And Terry for the street.
And Terry for, yes. So, feel free to, as I said before, feel free to lobby each other, feel free to be lobbied by the community, and is there any other discussion, any other questions anybody has about the budget tonight?
Well, after the discussion tonight, are we going to agree then that we're going to form a motion for the purchase of the plotter to approve it for next week?
Actually,
so
describe the process, please.
In the general fund, we have a quarter of the plotter in the general fund. It's up here. And then in the street fund, we have the other $5,000, the other quarter of the plotter. So I'll put those two red zone items into the 2015 budget for those two, for the general fund and the street fund. And then we'll discuss the rest of the red zone items, yay and nay, and go through those. At our next meeting, we won't pass an official ordinance. I'll prepare that ordinance once we've already had this discussion, and then we'll be able to pass it at the November 24th meeting.
So to interpret John's question, the process of adopting the budget is our... So when we have the final budget, and when we vote on that, all the items in that budget are going to be included. So unless...
The plotter would be included at that point.
Yeah, it would be included at that point. But we still can discuss it. We can still... If there's other ways you would prefer to pay for it, you know, there's just lots of different variables we can use, John.
Okay.
But normally, as the process would go, we discuss these things now in our open session, and then as we're getting a consensus on the things, the priorities of the council, then as we go through, Spencer's going to tell us, okay, this is how much money you have left, and this is what you have left to pick from. And the council will set the priority, and then that's what will be presented. Is that correct, Spencer?
Yes.
Okay. For the final budget ordinance. And then as the process goes, can you give us the time frame then again?
So tonight we've discussed some of the red zone items. At our next meeting on the 10th, we'll discuss the rest of the red zone items. And then I'll take all that information and create the final budget ordinance document, and I'll bring that to council at our November 24th meeting. And that's what we'll pass the final 2015 budget based on that. And again, the discussion tonight and the discussion at our next meeting, we can go back and forth on these items. We want to make our budget reflect your priorities as council members and as representatives of the public. And then even going into the next year, 2015, the budget is a fluid document. It's a living document. We can make amendments. We can make changes, just like your personal finances. Sometimes you have to make adjustments, cut things out, or you can add things to it. And so we'll be monitoring the budget as we have this year throughout the year to see what other options we can accommodate. So.
Thank you very much, Spencer.
Can you could put together a copy of that for us?
Of this document here?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is on board docs.
Okay.
If you want a printed out copy, though, I can give you that also.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the role of the council at this point, let's say you're looking at this $12,000 uniform purchases, and even though... our police chief, Phil Shank, gave us an explanation. Maybe you want a further explanation. So I would encourage you to contact him, and he will put on his best sales uniform and give you his reasons why this is necessary. The same with Terry on the Public Works projects. Any other further questions about the budget? Thank you, Council. Thank you, Spencer. Appreciate all the effort you put forward into getting us to this point. Moving on to item three, are there any committee reports to be given? Hearing none, we'll move to item four. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight?
I have one item. This is to do with 14th Avenue, and I heard it mentioned tonight, and that's the roundabout on 14th Avenue. I know we had one meeting here and we discussed the possibility of a roundabout, but I didn't think it was set in stone yet, and we made a decision on it. Since that time, Eugene brought up a couple good points about a roundabout and the pedestrian traffic. And I've got a chance to look at a lot of different roundabouts since then, and they're not pedestrian friendly at all. They're great for moving traffic, but if it's awful hard to move the people, especially the students and the kids that we're going to need to move at that intersection, and I really, really would like to take a look at that and not be just stuck on the roundabout.
Yeah, we've been talking to Larry Julius and looked and discussed this quite a bit, and the roundabout would be engineered and the pedestrian sidewalks would be engineered so as to mitigate the dangers to pedestrians. And Terry, I think that describes it in a nutshell. So they'd be set back away from the roundabout enough so it would not be an issue for that. The other thing we looked at was the traffic light, and the traffic light cost quite a bit more, believe it or not, than a roundabout. I was shocked at that. And so your other option is a four-way stop, but if you look at the future of 14th and how that's going to tie into other things that are going on, there has to be some kind of traffic calming device there. And so we're going to get back with the chief and his experience with traffic, and with, of course, with Terry and with Larry, and decided that's really the best thing for the city to make sure. So yeah, to your question, it's not concrete yet, so to speak, so we're still looking at it.
So what a way I would anticipate in order to answer Ken, there will be presentations to the council with regard to what is proposed, and the council will have an opportunity then at that time to examine what's being proposed. One of the figures I've been thrown out today was a $700,000 roundabout, and I don't know about you, but $700,000 in that figure for a roundabout just it offends me that anything could cost that much money. So I would encourage staff that when they're meeting with Larry Julius, that we have an open discussion with later with the council about some of these options, because I don't know whether the council sold yet on the idea of a $700,000 roundabout.
And I'd like to see these numbers on a red light, because in my personal opinion, I'd rather spend extra on a red light to keep from having a child getting run over than to have a roundabout.
Sure. The figure that Larry Julius gave us was $1 million for a traffic light.
Well, so is that off the cuff, or was that
I'd like to see some hard numbers on that.
So we'll have a discussion on that. I don't know if Terry wants to talk to that.
Terry, there is one other thing you have to look at that we just went over with the port when we were in here with WashDOT talking about a roundabout out here on Reynolds and 26th, and a streetlight was brought up, and they said that a streetlight is very, very expensive because every 10 years they got to go pull new wire into those streetlights. So that's something that's got to be routine maintenance all the time from WashDOT. That's what they gave us here at the table when they were talking about a streetlight out here for what the port was going to do. So just keep that in mind as well, too. I understand what Mr. Bain's saying and what Ken's saying, but there is a traffic issue up there. If you can keep it flowing, we're better. So we'll keep an open mind and we'll work through it, and then we'll bring it back to council.
No, we did traffic studies, right? We know what the flow is. Okay.
And that traffic study included the possible development of CBHA as well, which brought up the whole traffic circle roundabout discussion and how to comment traffic in that Scutney and 14th Avenue intersection. And so that's when we started this discussion and looked at roundabouts and looked at that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, we do have through streets ahead from east to west. So anyone wanting to go down towards the Napa and that area down that way and then catch the freeway there or catch the freeway right out in front on 14th can do so. But so that would keep traffic from coming back up towards the roundabout where the roundabout would be up there north.
I know, John, but Scutney was designed at some point. The decision was made to make Scutney one of our thoroughfares. And so now Scutney is going to be complete to 14th, which will be one of the several through streets all the way through.
It'll carry traffic east to west.
Exactly.
So that'll relieve some of the pressure on the north end up by the two schools.
And then the further development of Columbia Avenue will do the same.
I know they just did a numbers count here just a couple months ago. Green Osborne did. But it would be nice to have some new numbers. I know Scutney Street will be finished here really soon. Scutney Street will be connected fully all the way to 14th. Mm-hmm. And I bet you're going to see a big increase in that street being used now all the way up to 14th. And we need to look at those numbers before 14th is constructed. Because those will be some new numbers in that, too.
Are you wanting traffic counts, Ken? Is that what you want?
After Scutney has opened up all the way up to 14th.
Okay.
Because we need to look at those numbers, because I believe that's going to open up quite a bit. You're going to see a lot of people using that street really heavily.
So you're saying they're going to come up Scutney and come up 14th?
All the way up to 14th.
And then go to Walmart?
Yes.
Down to Ash.
Then go to Walmart.
Yes.
So it's something that we really need to look at.
Coming up.
At those numbers before 14th Avenue is constructed, that will help us with that.
There's one thing else I was going to say. When we did the traffic study in the 14th Avenue corridor here, we know that down here at Cemetery, Ash, and 14th, we got a congestion like no other. Those two stop signs there on 14th don't really help. It doesn't keep traffic moving. And we know that if Scutney Street goes through, that's going to take and relieve some of that, but that's off of Ash
Street, yes.
And it's going to get real busy. So there needs to be something there to keep things moving, so it doesn't come to a stop. So
true.
Just keep that in mind.
Maybe we need 5 stoplights. Thank you, Terry. Any other unfinished business come before the council tonight? Hearing none, we'll move to item number 5, new business. Is there any new business that the council would like researched by staff? Okay. With that, hearing none, we'll adjourn our meeting tonight.